Today is Thursday, April the 4th, 2019. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Shir on Parshas Tazria and Shabbos HaKodesh.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Berger and the synagogue for being so generous and allowing us to have this wonderful class with Rabbi Soloveitchik. We haven't decided whether we're going to have class next week or not, but we will soon make a decision, and we'll send out an email to everybody.
Thank you.
To let them know. I'd like to ask everybody to please take the telephones
and silence
them.
For 5 minutes.
Thank you. And I would like to take the opportunity to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos. And we're going to be davening Maariv just a few minutes after the class. So please stay around. We have just enough for a minyan, and it would really be appreciated. I also want to thank those that helped me with the tablecloths and setting up the room and helping me set up the class today and keeping me company until all of you arrived. Okay. Promotion?
Okay. I'm not sure whether this is the last shiur before Pesach or not. Assuming that we meet next Thursday, those who have Haggadahs, please bring them so we'll learn the Haggadah. And the truth is, hearing that this might be the last class, if I had known, I would have brought Haggadahs, but I didn't know, so I'm not going to give a shiur on the Haggadah itself, although I will make reference to it now this week is Parshas HaChodesh, and it's very interesting that in the Haggadah, the Haggadah says, "Yigadat levincha, you shall tell your children." Now, just as a side point, the word Haggadah, I think it's pointed out by the Malbim, and that's very important, even though it doesn't have to do so much with what I'm saying. The word Haggadah, as opposed to Amira, Haggadah means to communicate, whereas Amira means to say. Say is oral. Of course, Pesach at night, there's things that have to be said. But the message that we give over is not limited to words. And that's why the Torah employs the word Haggadah. In other words, it's a message in the way, in the whole Seder, how we sit by the Seder, and everything that we do at the Seder. The leaning is part of the message. It's not an oral thing. But that is part of the message also. V'higadata levincha, you shall communicate. It's not limited to it's not limited to an oral message. And the more authentic the message is, the non-oral message, the greater effect that it has. You know, somebody once called me with a shaila. I'm not going to go into the details of the shaila, but it was all based on the fact that he decided to make a big tent outside his house for the Seder and have everybody dressed up, somebody dressed up as Paro, and someone dressed up as Moshe, and I don't know who it was, that's not the message of Pesach. The message of Pesach is not one of costume, and it has to be a sincere message. But it's not limited to an oral message. Although it's very interesting that the Zohar says that the word Pesach is Pesach, a speaking mouth, the Aramaic, a speaking mouth. And the Zohar says that so long as the Jews were in bondage, their speech was in bondage. A slave really can't express anything. But when the Jews were delivered from bondage, so their speech was also delivered from bondage. So, and to a certain degree, the whole idea of the Haggadah, the children asking the Haggadah, it's very interesting. The Vilna Gaon says that there are four questions that the child asks corresponding with the four expressions of freedom. And the question is, what's that? Four cups of wine corresponding with four expressions of freedom, we understand. But four cups of wine, four questions. And the answer is, the ability to ask is demonstrative of freedom. It shows freedom. A slave doesn't ask. Now, of course, there are limitations where we can ask. But a slave doesn't ask anything. He just listens and is told what to do. And we express our freedom by the idea of question and answer. The Torah says that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of telling our children, it doesn't even have to be children, even if he's alone, just telling himself. If there are other people, so he tells the other people. The mitzvah, I would have said on the basis of logic that the mitzvah should begin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, but the Pasuk comes said, you got it till Bincha Bayom Ahu, you have to tell it on that day. So, in other words, on the basis of logic, I would say that the mitzvah of telling over begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this Shabbos, the first day of the month of Nisan. But Talmud Lomar by Yom Ahu, but the Torah tells us that it has to be on that day. Now the question is, why do we assume that on the basis of logic, if not for a special pasuk, saying to the contrary, I would have said that the mitzvah of saying the Haggadah begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why would I have said that? Why would we have said such a thing? On the contrary, I think, logically, the best time for saying the Haggadah would be Pesach at night. I don't see why somebody would have thought that it begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Recently there was a certain Reform rabbi that wrote an article suggesting that when people have trouble with certain holidays, they have trouble with certain holidays, they're conflicts, whatever it is. So you celebrate Hanukkah at a time that it would... that would fit better with your schedule.
Convenience,
yeah. The religion of convenience. So, but that's obviously It's really appropriate from a reform perspective, in the sense that it's that we want to make it convenient, but in terms of the idea of re-experiencing, the whole idea of re-experiencing is that time moves in a circle, and at Pesach we come back. It's not, we're not moving, and like nature, it's Nisan. It's a Nisan. Nisan represents the beginning of spring. You won't see it over here. But here it seems like the beginning of winter. Anyway, but the year moves in a circle, and we're constantly, or a spiral, some say, and we come back to the point of the Exodus, the 15th of Nisan. And that's the whole idea behind all the holidays. All the holidays is more or less, Pesach, it's in the extreme, is one of re-experiencing. Putting it on a different day takes away from this sense of time moving in a circle or a spiral. But Yochel Rosh Chodesh, I would think it starts in Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, why would I have thought that? Now, I think, personally, it's not such a strong question. A lot of people ask the question. I think it's very simple. The mitzvah Pesach night is not just the mitzvah, and this is based on what I said before, it's not just the mitzvah of telling my kids a story. You take out the, when I was a kid, they used to have the golden books. I don't know if they still don't have them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you take out a book and show a nice picture of a baby in a basket standing by a river and whatever it is. And you could say the best story, and it could be exactly in accordance with the Torah, and you will not fulfill the mitzvah of Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the Exodus. Why? Because we say, Ma nishtana halayla hazen mikol halaylos. What made this night different from all the other nights of the year? In other words, we can't just tell a story. We have to associate the story of Passover with the night of the year. We have to associate it on this night. Such and such happened. On the day, such and such happened. But it has to be associated with the day. And we have to explain the significance of the day. So, now, the one time we can be sure, now, in the old days, they didn't have a calendar. So everything was based on the proclamation of Beis Din as to what day would be Rosh Chodesh. What day would be Rosh Chodesh? So the last time they were, so the day that was always assured that we would know what day would be Pesach would be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When we hit Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan proclaimed that the 15th of Nisan is Pesach. So we can't talk about a night, the significance of a night, before we know which night it is. So that's what it seems to me is the reason. But I'm going to come back to that answer if we have time. I'll come back to that answer to go a little to explain it further. But I want to discuss mainly the answer my father gave. I had, for many years, I liked the answer very much. My father obviously liked it because my father would repeat it. There were certain things that my father would say one year and he wouldn't say it the next year, you know. And next year he might say something else. But there were certain thoughts that he would say over every year. And this was one of those thoughts. He said that Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis says, why does the Torah start with Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Haaretz, with the story of creation? The Torah should have started with HaChodesh HaSel Lechem, Rosh Chodashim, which is the first mitzvah of the Torah. Now we know that there are mitzvahs mentioned in Chumash Bereishis, but as the Rambam points out, those mitzvahs only came mitzvahs for future generations when Chumash Bereishis was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Because what is the definition of Torah? The definition of Torah is that which was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the definition of Torah. So the fact that you couldn't eat the Gid Hanasha, the fact that all the mitzvos mentioned in Chumash Bereishis, it wasn't because of Yaakov, it was because that parsha was said over later to Moshe. So the definition of Torah is that which was given to Moshe. So the question is, The Torah is not a history book. Torah is a book of Jewish law. So why does the Torah start with Bereishis Bara? The Torah should start, just list the 613 mitzvos. And the first mitzvah the Jews got was HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, Rosh Chodashim. Why do we have, that's the question Rashi asks, and Rashi gives an answer. However, that was the first. Now, so that means Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, did not begin when the Jews came to Mount Sinai. It began long before that. It began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because this mitzvah was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So in a sense, there is this spiritual redemption of the Jew. The spiritual redemption of the Jew began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the spiritual redemption is perhaps more important than the physical redemption. Because the spiritual redemption, the physical redemption to a certain degree, is taken away from us time and time again. The spiritual redemption is not taken away from us. Yeah, they interfere, we can't perform the mitzvahs, we still have the mitzvahs. The Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, Yaakov said, according to Rashi, I watched over the 613 mitzvahs. Many of those 613 mitzvahs weren't applicable in Lavan's house, but the 613 mitzvahs were watched over. The same way when we have the obligation of the mitzvahs, even in situations where we are not given the opportunity to fulfill those mitzvahs, but we're still watching over those mitzvahs. So the Torah, in a sense, the giving of the Torah began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is the spiritual redemption. And the spiritual redemption is even more important than the physical redemption. So I would have said on the basis of logic that we should talk about the Exodus from Egypt on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the spiritual redemption began. So Talmud Lomar, so the Torah tells us by Yom Ahu. And that was because the first mitzvah was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, the problem I have with my father's answer is that from Rashi it appears that on the contrary, the first mitzvah was given in the last day of Adar. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, because the rule was, God did not speak to Moshe at night. God spoke to Moshe only in the day. Rashi points it out. Consequently, it also says that God pointed to the Levana, figuratively, God pointed to the moon, and he said, when the moon is like this, you will be Mekadesh the Chodesh. You will, So in the moon, apparently, Rashi says, had to be seen at night. The moon had to be seen at night. So he says, so if the moon was seen Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the mitzvah, which was was seen at night. So the mitzvah had to be given in the day because God wouldn't talk at night to Moshe. So it was the day when the moon appeared, that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The mitzvah was in the day, so that was the last day of Adar. So the Matan Torah was not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The giving of the Torah was on the last day of Adar. So this is the problem I had with my father's answer. All right, I have many answers for it. One answer, very quickly, there was a whole dispute between my father's uncle, the Brisker Rav, and the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish came to visit. My father's uncle in Eretz Yisrael, he had to be in Yerushalayim, and he went to visit my father's uncle, and the Brisker Rav was learning this parsha of Chodesh Hazeh v'Chem Rosh Chodashim at the time. And Brisker Rav was troubled. Why does it say, when the moon is like this, he says there is a halacha as to the size of the moon that is seen to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. That's why God had a point to the moon. And the Chazon Ish disagreed. He said, as soon as they see the moon, even if truth is, as soon as we see it, it's already the proper size. But let's say the eyesight would improve, and we could see even a smaller size of the moon. Or a telescope, or whatever. So according to the Brisker Rav, we can't be Mechadish the Chodesh till the moon is a particular, can be viewed as being a particular size. So in other words, the command included the size of the moon. So that was at night. Okay, but if we don't say that, I want to suggest a different answer. Question is, what does it mean to accept Torah? What does it mean? Does it mean to say, I accept? This is the big fight that takes place all the time in Eretz Yisrael and America about Geirus, conversion. I'm not going to discuss the halacha at length, but there is always a dispute. In other words, a ger is said, do you accept upon yourself all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the biblical mitzvahs, the rabbinic mitzvahs, the customs of Israel? That's the standard question in one form or another that's asked of a convert. And usually the convert says, yes, I accept upon myself. Now, I know one case where somebody went for a conversion. He told me, you know, he since was a young boy, his parents took him in for a conversion. And he told me himself afterwards, Nicholas Antui. And afterwards, they went to celebrate his conversion at McDonald's next door. So he went through another conversion after. He happens to be a big Talmud Chacham now. So I just want you to know. But in other words, the question is, what does it mean to accept Torah and mitzvahs? At what point is it an acceptance? So we could say, if the person is sincere and he accepts it, that's fine. That's true. And the Geirus, the conversion would be good. There's no question. If he's sincere at that time, and if something happens a minute later, whatever it is, okay, it was sincere. But I think there's another form of acceptance, a more important form of acceptance. And I think the mitzvah of Avas HaGer, of love of the Ger, applies with this form of acceptance. Acceptance through a demonstration of fulfillment. It's easy to say yes. It's not so easy to observe. So, and it's very interesting. The Torah tells us about Yisro. Yisro had a number of names. I mentioned it here once. One name was Yeser. Why was his name Yeser? He added Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, because he caused an extra parsha in the Torah. So that's why he had the name Yeser. More. He added something to the Torah. Played a role. Not that he added, but he played a role in a parsha being added to the Torah. It's called Yeser. And then they ask the question, so why is he called Yisro with a Vav? He had many names. So the answer is, he went through conversion, so they added a Vav to his name. I was troubled. It seems that he had the name Yeser first, and then they added the Vav and became Yisro. Now we know that Yisro went through conversion before the parsha was added. So how can you say that he got the name Yeser for adding a parsha to the Torah, and then when he converted, they added a vav to it? It just doesn't make sense. The answer is, when he said, I accept the mitzvahs of the Torah, etc., that was a complete conversion. But it wasn't a complete acceptance. The complete acceptance of the mitzvahs is when a person actually does the mitzvahs of the Torah. And I think there are special laws in how you have to treat the ger. I think that those laws only apply if the ger follows through with his commitment. So true acceptance, complete acceptance of the mitzvahs, is not just saying, I accept it. It's actually doing acceptance through demonstration. That is the complete acceptance. That is the complete acceptance of the mitzvahs. I think that perhaps this is the idea also. Yes, God gave them the law of Kiddush HaChodesh, the law of Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the law of the calendar. He gave them the law of the calendar on Rosh Chodesh. He gave them the law of the calendar on the last day of Adar. He gave them on the last day of Adar. But it's only when they proclaimed Adar as Rosh Chodesh that it was fulfilled. That wasn't until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the complete acceptance of the mitzvahs took place. Nisinas HaTorah, the giving of the Torah, might have been on the last day of Adar, but Kabbalas HaTorah, the acceptance, the full acceptance of the mitzvahs, that was only on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When is somebody, we say there is a spiritual freedom, a spiritual gula? A spiritual gula is not when you accept to do the mitzvahs. The spiritual gula is when you actually do the mitzvahs. When the Jewish people proclaimed Rosh Chodesh, that was the full acceptance of the mitzvah. So that the gula, the redemption, the spiritual redemption began not on the last day of Adar, but it began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So this is now. So this is the reason why I would have said that we should start on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Torah says no, that the mitzvah of the Haggadah is now the Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, proclaiming the calendar is the first mitzvah of the Torah. Why was that mitzvah chosen to be the first mitzvah of the Torah? Why was that chosen as the first mitzvah of the Torah? Now, there's a number of reasons we could say. There's a certain chiddush, not with regard to this question, and with regard to a much more complicated question, which I'm not going to go into here, but my uncle said, let's say we say every Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh will be in such and such a month, such and such a day. So some say we're just, well, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, when they say we're just mimicking what the Jews in Eretz Yisrael say. But the Rambam says the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, when they say Rosh Chodesh will be in such and such a day, that is what makes it Rosh Chodesh. That is what makes it Rosh Chodesh. And my uncle said that, and the Rambam is very interesting, the Rambam says that there will ever come a time when there won't be 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, there won't be a community of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, halachically the calendar comes to an end. Because it's the Jews of Eretz Yisrael that are considered the nation. So the calendar comes to an end. So in a sense, Rosh Chodesh is a mitzvah of the Jewish people as a nation. It recognizes the Jewish people as a nation. Not only that, even when the Beis Din, my uncle said, even when the Beis Din proclaimed Rosh Chodesh on the basis of the sighting of the new moon, if the Jewish people would not accept it, if the Jewish people would not accept it, so what Beis Din said would be irrelevant. It had to be accepted by the Jewish people. Why? HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. It is given over to you. The Chodesh is given over to you. So in other words, this first mitzvah gives the Jewish people the sense of nationhood. The sense of nationhood. But why was this the first mitzvah? It's very interesting. The Sforna says that the mastery over time, the Jews were slaves. And in order to negate that servile perspective, they had to have mastery. They had to see themselves as having mastery over time. When it comes to Yontif, we say in the Shemona Esrei, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, he who sanctifies the Jewish people and the time. So the Gemara says, but when it comes to Shabbos, we just say Mekadesh Shabbos. When it comes to the holidays, Mekadesh Yisrael. Why? Because it's not the Jewish people that proclaim it Shabbos. It's God that determines which day is Shabbos. Every seventh day is Shabbos. It's part of the rules of creation. But when it comes to Yontif, Gemara says, Mekadesh Yisrael, God, who sanctifies the Jewish people, who, the Jewish people, sanctify the times. In other words, we have mastery, it's mastery over time. The four cups of wine, we correspond with the four expressions of redemption. What are the four expressions of redemption? In the Torah, it's in a certain order. V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, and I should take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. V'hitzalti eschem e'avodosam, and I will save you from their service or labor or servitude. V'ga'alti eschem bizro netuya, I will take you out with a strong arm. V'latachti eschem lila'am, and I will take you as a nation. The Rashbam, when he says which cup, when he lists the orders of the cups at the beginning of our Pesach, he doesn't follow the order of the Torah. He says like this, the first cup he lists is V'hotzeisi. Okay. That's in the Torah. But then, in the second, he says, the Galti, which actually in the Torah is the third. Why? Because the second half, the second of the four parts of the Haggadah, Asher Golana v'Gol Abasena, talks about Gula. So he wants the different parts of the Haggadah to correspond, the different parts of the Haggadah to correspond with the different cups of wine, the different expressions of freedom of the different cups of wine. So then so we have to say the first one was in this Kiddush. That's the first one is a Kiddush. In Kiddush we say Zeichel Etzias Mitzrayim, taking us out of Egypt. Why is that? Because part of Zeichel Etzias Mitzrayim, taking us from the yoke of Egypt. How did God take us out from the yoke of Egypt? By giving us a certain perception of ourselves. And what is Kiddush? Kiddush is the sanctification of the times. God gave us the power to sanctify the times. Shabbos, even though we make Kiddush, we're just reaffirming what God said. But Yontif, it's the Jewish people through Kiddush HaChodesh. We are, and Kiddush is in a sense expressing the fact that this is the day that the Jewish people were proclaimed. In other words, we became free. Our control over time takes away the perception of servitude that we had. So I think so. This is the reason. So the reason this is the first mitzvah, Sforna says, is to take away the servitude. There's an additional reason also that gave the Jewish people the perception of being a nation. Now, I mentioned that the reason we needed a special pasuk is because that's the time. That's because when we proclaim Rosh Chodesh, when we proclaim Rosh Chodesh, we're proclaiming Pesach. When we proclaim Rosh Chodesh, we're proclaiming Pesach. That represents the freedom of the Jew. The Jew recognizes it. It's one thing to be told you are free. It's another thing to get that perception. You have people that are told they are free, but they can't, they don't really see themselves as free. And you have people who see themselves as free, and they're not free. Rosh Chodesh, when they proclaimed, that was the beginning of their self-perception. They proclaimed when Pesach is at that point. That's when they demonstrated their control of time. So that's when they began. That's when they began to be free. So, what is the mitzvah of Pesach? The mitzvah of Pesach, I said, was of the Haggadah, was to talk about the uniqueness of the night. Why do we have to talk about the uniqueness of the night? Let's just talk about the Exodus. Because when we talk about the uniqueness of the night, we're talking about the night that we proclaimed. We're talking about Pesach night, that we proclaimed it as Pesach night. And even today, when there's a calendar, it's only because we accepted what the calendar said. So, in a sense, Pesach night is when we began, we first have that ability to see ourselves as mastery over time, to take away that servil perspective. So I would say, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of the Haggadah? Yeah, the purpose of the Haggadah is to establish relationships with our children, to continue the Mesorah, all of that. And I think part of the purpose of the Haggadah, why do we lean Pesach night? Why do we lean? Why? Why can't we just drink the wine like we do every year, every week when we make Kiddush? We want to demonstrate that we're free. part of the purpose of the Haggadah is to impress upon ourselves that we are free. So when did that ability to impress upon ourselves we are free begin? That began Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That began in Rosh Chodesh Nisan when we demonstrated our mastery over time. So Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh, so the Torah says, Talmud Lomar by Yom HaRoi.
So I want to wish everybody a good year of Shabbos.
You won't be there.
Shabbos. We will be letting everybody know during the next few days about this week's class. And we're going to be davening in about 2 minutes. Please clean off the tablecloths. Leave the tablecloths on the table. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for